Welcome to Three in the Box, Episode 9.
Not quite there yet.
Almost there. Almost finally over last year. Yes, it is Episode 9 of Three in the Box. This is the Meat Beast. I'm sitting around with Aaron.
Hey.
And Kenny.
What up?
As we have been for the last couple of years, and as you all well know from this season, you have heard our producer, Jive, sitting in the background, making all the fun noises for us and occasionally yelling at a microphone.
Hey there.
All right. So we're all back. It's been a week. We had predictions for last week. We discussed the Wild. We discussed the Gophers.
What were our predictions last week?
Well, first, let's just finish on. We're going to get into the Wild. We're going to have the thing on the true evil of the Clutterbuck hit. And what happened against the home and away with the Flames. We are going to try and not talk about high school men's because they're just finishing up their last round before going into the X. We'll have a report on how the finals went for the women's hockey at the X for the high school league. And we'll give a quick rundown on the college scene, especially the Gophers and what happened with them this weekend. Now, insofar as our picks for the Wild last week, I know I personally said we would beat Edmonton. And that the away team would win on the home and away with Calgary.
So you had them split? Or
I had them splitting, but I had it flipped. I thought that the away team would win.
You know, and I'm pretty sure I took a smoke in Edmonton, which we did a fairly good job of. But I thought Calgary was going to kind of give us a spanking, which...
I don't think you admitted that on air, though, last week. I could be wrong.
I don't know. We can go back and listen to the tapes.
I'm too lazy for that.
And I can't remember what I said at all. So.
All right. Well, I at least
I was hoping one of you would
remember.
I think you had agreed, but you were going to play devil's advocate and actually flipped it, thinking that
I think you
Edmonton,
said that the home would win.
Yes, that's right.
On Calgary.
But I think that you were thinking that Edmonton was going to beat the Wild, even though that
the Wild were going to beat them.
See, but you ended up picking the opposite.
You guys are trying to remember what you said last week. I at least made sure to remember what I said.
I got to remember to write that stuff down. Oh, yeah,
that poo. It's okay. I think we agreed that we could say the shit word, but not any of the others, and we should keep it at a minimum.
I still tried not to.
So let's not say should ever again. All right. So who wants to lead off?
I think you do.
The whole Clutterbuck being out right now with a thigh contusion. Because of Taylor. That evil, 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 evil piece of crap.
You know, Clutterbuck's been out for what, almost a week now?
Almost.
Yeah, a week. He's been out for a week,
and
give or take a period of hockey.
Aaron and I had briefly discussed this. I'm a huge fan of, you know, if you're going to take a player out and injure a player, you should be out until that player comes back.
You should be out
Your
without
suspension
pay.
Should be until that player is healthy enough to return to play, and then you're allowed to come back.
Your suspension should start once they can step back on the ice.
Or you're out until they're back.
Or, yeah, either way. Now, this for those of you that didn't see it, it was a knee-on-knee, but it was on the inside of the knee. The puck was wobbling behind. It wasn't even anywhere near enough to Clutterbuck. It was a waffler that was going behind him, nowhere near him, a knee-on-knee on the inside of the leg. Driving straight up into his groin.
Hall was not playing the puck at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Dude, he wasn't
playing
the body.
The
he was playing a freaking
He was playing leg. A limb.
It was directly.
He was playing a limb.
It was directly a knee-on-knee on the inside and then driving up into the groin.
Clutterbuck is lucky that it was just a contusion and it wasn't a busted ACL or MCL.
When I looked at it, it looked like he had dislocated his hip entirely.
I couldn't tell if it was a hip or if it was a knee because it was... It was not good.
He dropped to the ice.
He dropped and
he looked like he
down,
was in pain.
And he normally is not one to stay down. He's normally one to get up. If he does need assistance, he'll take a little bit of assistance, but you'll see him actually moving even the one leg.
He's an old school hockey guy.
Yeah,
you know?
He's
Yeah, the only thing you could see moving was his facial expression on how bad that hurt.
Yeah.
He might not drop the gloves often, but he plays a very physical game.
Right.
Well, he's a grinder.
He takes his hits with pride.
And that's one thing that was brought up afterwards is that, you know, Clutterbuck gets a bad rap because he lays all these hits down, but has he ever been suspended or reprimanded for his hits? His hits are clean.
They're clean.
They're very clean, and... You know, for Hall to target him in the waning minutes of a losing game, it's cheap shot artist.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, 100%.
Yeah.
I think he should have gotten more than two games for it personally.
Well, and they're looking, I can't remember when their next matchup is, but it's soon.
Potentially, Clutterbuck's first game back is going to be against Edmonton.
Yeah, and it's still more likely that Konopka is going to be on the starting line.
I would hope so.
Yeah, because basically we got a two-game road trip after this, and then they're back at home versus Edmonton.
Yeah.
And Clutterbuck's not going on the road, so...
In theory, his first game back may be that game, but...
We don't know. I mean...
There's been a lot of conjecture and a lot of rumors
right.
I've heard from a lot of people Konopka's going to be on the starting line that night, and that the puck drops as the gloves do.
That's what we're going to hear a lot of, hopefully.
We'll hear a lot of that. I think we'll probably hear something totally different right at the beginning of the game, though.
But
yeah, something a little more like that.
Thanks, Jive.
All right. But yeah, very dirty pool, very much in the tail end of a game that Edmonton was already losing.
Right. And another thing that you got to keep in mind is that Hall, this season, when he was playing for Oklahoma City... He put a hit on Jonas Brodin that broke his clavicle.
That's right.
That was a questionable hit. It might have been boarding. It was more of a hockey play rather than this one, which was just dirty.
I mean, Setoguchi's hit, even the national announcers that don't like the Wild were saying that was questionable on the call because it looked like he was being defensive.
Right.
When he had the high-sticking call, which could have been, in theory, a cross-checking call and caught the guy in the face. They were coming for a mid-ice collision, it did look like he was being defensive. Questionable. Fine paid. No suspension, luckily. Not the same situation at all.
The only ones who were defending Hall in this were Edmonton fans and Edmonton broadcasters.
Yeah.
Not even his teammates.
And even then, it was...
His teammates weren't defending him. I didn't hear any of it.
Well...
There may have been, and I just missed it.
It's a bad hit, and with a shortened season the way it is, two games, yes, okay, that's a lot for the season.
Right.
But look at how fast those two games are going to go by with teams playing four games a week. He's going to be back skating with his team in no time. It's going to be like hardly anything happened for taking Clutterbuck out of play for over a week.
He's basically going to have 2 days
off. A slap
off.
On the wrist. Yeah.
Like, he's not even going to miss any skating time, really.
No, not at all.
So.
I don't know. Like I said,
his stats
still go
won't
back.
Look good. That's about the only thing that'll change is he won't be able to rack up any more hits to get some better stats.
I'm still a fan of, you know, you take a guy out, you're out until that guy comes back. For a very, like, especially for a questionable offense, which that's not questionable, that's a definite offense.
And I like what Mike Yeo had said was that, you know, what if this was Clutterbuck laying a hit on a Hall? That
right.
same hit,
yeah.
which we know Clutterbuck doesn't do because he doesn't do.
No,
cheap,
he's a clean
cheap,
player.
You know, hits like that.
Yeah, he's.
But people would be up in arms wanting 10-game suspension or something crazy on Clutterbuck.
Because Clutterbuck is known for hitting.
Right.
He's
but
known for
as
being
clean
a physical
hits.
Player. But he's known for playing clean.
He is, yeah. Well, I don't think the clean stuff really translates, though. I think people think he's a hitter, so he's...
He's playing dirty pool.
You know,
no.
They think he's the next Marty McSorley
you
know?
There's some people...
He's not. He's not even close to that.
No.
The casual fan probably will look at it the way you're suggesting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the people who have played and the hardcore fans, diehard fans who are sitting there watching every hit going, no, that's a clean hit, that's a clean hit. Okay, that was a questionable hit. Okay, that one wasn't even questionable. That was just straight up dirty pool.
I mean, really, I look at him as a lot like Nick Cronwall. Cronwall lays out the hits.
Oh, yeah.
Usually they're clean.
Very, very great point there, actually.
Cronwall gets a lot of open ice hits that are just amazing.
Devastates people. But
they're
clean.
Clean.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's, I think some people will see that, but some people don't see that. So they see a guy who's hit my player, and they think he's a, you know, a crummy guy because he's laying the hits out consistently.
Mean, well, even back down to stupid hits like Matthias Olin with the slash on Koivu that broke his leg.
Olin. We were talking about that earlier. We were trying to figure out who it was.
Oh, yes. You guys couldn't remember Matthias Olin, the guy who made me remember that I hated Vancouver?
No,
okay.
You mentioned it. We were thinking, Brian May?
Brad May. He had another one. He took out another Wild player.
It was right before Matthias Olin got traded away from Vancouver. He finished off that season, and then they got rid of him because they were like, oh, really? You had to keep the feud going.
Yeah. So, well.
Brad May knocking out Kim Janssen.
That's what it was.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yep. And I want to say that was the same season, unless I'm sorely mistaken.
I think you might be right, actually.
All right, so getting back to that game. Who's got it? Kenny, you got it?
So more wild news.
Come on, Kenny.
Charlie Coyle brought back up as Johan Larsson sent back down to Houston. I personally like Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the size. I like his physical play. I like having him, especially when he's on a top line, to actually defend.
No, and I mean, Coyle's he's a big guy, and I think over the last couple of games, he's definitely starting to show his value. He's also shown that he's a little rough around the edges. He's young still, you know.
The little bit I've gotten to see, actually, of the last couple of games has actually made me say basically the same thing. Okay, now I'm going to pay attention to you. You're proving yourself right now. You're starting to actually step it up enough for me to notice you.
Yeah.
No, I like him. And I hope he gets some more playing time. I hope he does not get enough playing time to screw with his two-way contract, because I think he is still an asset down in Houston.
Right.
Personally. but
it's beer time here.
Yeah, apparently. Make that four, please.
No, three by three. My count, but...
Three. So anyways, yeah, I like Charlie Coyle. I really hope he
And he is still pretty young. I mean, was it he's 22, I think. He just got
quit kicking the bottles, Jive.
he was at BC just last year, and he dropped out probably because he didn't want to be in school anymore, you know. Why else do kids drop out at that point, you know?
Or why would you want to play for BC?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you know, fair enough.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously, Kenny, did that actually come out of your mouth?
You know, it's not a Minnesota school, though.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Come on, we're
Minnesota
centric.
I've heard worse things come out of your mouth.
But seriously, who was the national champion last year?
Yeah, BC.
There we go.
Yeah. And he dropped out of that, and they still won. So.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right. So, anything else we want to talk about that Edmonton game there, Kenny?
Well,
Larsson.
No, Larsson, yeah. What happened with Larsson in that Edmonton game?
Johan Larsson actually got sent back down to Houston.
Yes. In place of Coyle brought up, Larsson sent down.
But now we should be looking at maybe the scoring breakdown.
No.
We're not going to even look at that yet?
No.
We've got
some NHL news to talk about.
Yes.
I thought we were going to save that for after the Wild. Sorry. No. So, Aaron, you want to bring us into the realignment?
Yes. So, we got a league realignment. The plans, the proposals have been released, leaked out, I guess. You would say
the proposal that the memo got sent to ESPN and NHL.com actually had to reference ESPN because NHL.com didn't get the memo from the NHL head office.
It went out. Well, TSN
is Canadian ESPN, except
right.
for they play hockey,
right? And they actually cover hockey.
Cover hockey,
but
exactly.
I mean.
And ESPN said the Wild were winning the Cup this year. I'm buying that shit.
Well, we went out all to the board of governors. So,
dude, I got some beans to sell you, too.
It went out to everyone, and the big change is Wild moving to the Midwest Division, which would be the old
Norris Division?
Almost. The old Norris.
Less Detroit. Basically, you have Chicago.
Wait, so we'd missed it.
Well, Detroit,
okay,
Detroit's
go
going
no,
to the
announce
East.
It, announce it. Okay. Announce it off.
So the teams would be Wild, Chicago, Winnipeg, Dallas, Colorado, Nashville, and St. Louis. Detroit would be moving to the East, which is something they've been pining for.
Because they're in the Eastern time zone.
Because that way they'll be playing a good portion of their schedule against Eastern teams. It's hard to follow them for it.
But it's Detroit.
However, the nice thing also is that, not necessarily for Wild, but Columbus also moves to the East. And they're ones who've been begging for Eastern time zone games.
Okay, so does that actually leave the East and West uneven?
Yes.
So 16 and 14?
Yep.
Yep, and with the West each having 7 teams in the 2 divisions.
And that's where they bring in the wild card.
Potentially.
I don't know that it's even a potential anymore.
Is that actually going to happen?
It sounds like it might.
Screw that. Give Canada 2 more hockey teams.
Well, that might be a down-the-road thing.
No, let's see Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan have a team again.
Honestly, they'll probably still... they might add teams. They might still add teams, but they'll still keep a wild card. Because what they want to do is have the 4 and 5 seeds in each division play like a one-game playoff.
Oh, Jesus. So, actually, no, I'm okay with this because this pushes it closer to me watching a Stanley Cup game on my birthday.
You know, okay, here's what I don't understand. Just because you're in the Eastern time zone does not mean you have to play in the East. So, because you're in the Eastern time zone, you got to be in the same hour as everyone else, but everybody in the West can travel across 3 different time zones.
Well, and that's a really good point because if you look at...
They only have one time zone.
Well, no, I mean, you look at baseball. They've got the American League and National League.
It's
spread out through the whole nation.
Same thing. Well, the NFL was that way for a while, too.
Yeah, it was.
I think the point...
It still is, actually.
The point I was getting off, Kenny, is that all of the Eastern teams are literally in the Eastern time zone.
Absolutely.
They have a competitive
and then
advantage.
The other 3 time zones
are spread out.
The West.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not break everything
2
up?
2 and 2, yeah. There is some neutral ground there. I mean, that's one of the things where I'm going, okay, Dallas and Colorado... A little farther out than should be in our division. Detroit and Columbus, I can totally see being in our division and it being more...
Well, we don't...
They're the only 2 teams that would be out of time zone. But guess what? We were the only team that was in our time zone for how many years now? Over a decade.
And we know that Minnesota already has natural rivalries with Detroit, Chicago,
Dallas,
Cleveland teams.
Dallas is going to be a rival because it's an old Minnesota team.
Well, we'll have that, but I mean, we have regional rivals within other sports.
Here's
absolutely,
Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland. If there was a Wisconsin team, we'd have that too.
Yeah,
if St.
Wisconsin
Louis,
people could ever figure out how to put down the hand egg and put knives on their feet, a stick in their hands, and learn how to box and move a puck at the same time, we'd actually respect them.
Sorry.
too soon?
Dude, some of those college kids coming out of Wisconsin, though, man.
Some of the college kids are great.
They're taking same lessons as us, as the Minnesota kids
are. I'm just saying I'd understand a Wisconsin hockey fan better than a Packer fan.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of a BS topic that all these teams, because we're in the Eastern time zone, we don't want to be playing in the West.
We can't play an hour later. Boo freaking who.
You know what?
1 hour difference when we would go months without playing in our own time zone.
Right.
They should literally take all the teams, throw them in a hat, and start throwing one out at a time, and however they end up, that's how it is.
They're trying to realign it. They're trying to make it easier. I appreciate that. I think that's good. We do have some natural rivalries already inherent there with Chicago and St. Louis. Colorado from once the Wild stepped into play, and also Dallas, obviously, due to the fact that it was a star. So we do have some natural rivalries.
And Winnipeg is
in
close.
The old Norris division.
Winnipeg, I think, is going to be a good one.
Now, we got to move on, though. Kenny, let's move on to the actual breakdown of that Edmonton game. Edmonton versus the Wild. Kenny.
So, the Wild ended up taking that win 3-1. Colin, rock star that night with 2 goals. Unfortunately, like we had talked.
Yes, Colin had 2 goals.
Colin, 2 goals. like we had talked about, though, that bad hit on Clutterbuck from douchebag.
Taylor Hall.
And I know Colin came close to. I know on an empty net at the end. And
he came close to a hat trick.
Oh,
he
a hat trick.
A couple times, yes.
A hattie by Colin would have been awesome. This is also the first time that Nick Schultz, former Wild player, now with Edmonton, played the Wild, his former team, as well as
Tom Gilbert.
Tom Gilbert playing his former team. Is the first time those guys are meeting up with each other.
And his Gilbert's fiance is also from Edmonton.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So. Overall, a great game to watch until that last what, 3 minutes when
Thunderbob
took that snarky hit.
I caught the first half of the game, and I would say it looked pretty even. I know some of the announcers were saying that Edmonton had the upper hand in the first period.
It seemed
but
pretty even. It was a lot of back
and
forth.
Very clean.
It was clean. It was fast. It was
very fast.
Back and
That's
forth.
That's one of the things I've really been enjoying about the Wild games this year, is that they've been clean games, and that they've been very competitive with whatever team they're playing. Not a lot of whistles, and just great hockey.
Actually, but you bring up a good point, because a lot of people have been complaining. I know Russo has brought it up a few times. People complaining about the Wild style of doing the punk, the dump and run, you know?
Yeah.
Dump and chase.
Dump and chase, yeah. And
which they've been doing less.
But they're still they're doing
still
it.
They're still doing it, but they're doing it less.
But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, because I know Russo even talked to Parisi. Parisi's like, we went to the finals doing dump and chase. Kings went to the finals and won the Stanley Cup doing dump and chase.
Well,
it's like dump and chase is like what
dump and chase can work, and the fact that they're not constantly doing it anymore, because that was friend slash roommate's biggest complaint about the Wild for years was
hockey
the constant
has its own
dump and chase
and strategy. For every play there's a counterplay.
Well, the part of the problem with the dump and chase is that sometimes it feels like they're doing the dump and chase at the exact wrong time. Like, they basically toss the puck in, and they could have made a break for it, and they just, you know, pissed it away.
Well, and dump and chase doesn't work against a trap team.
It can.
There's so few teams playing a trap now anyway.
Remember
though.
When the Wild were playing a trap under Lemaire?
Yeah.
How many cups did they get? Okay.
Yeah, but
now,
how many times did they
Aaron,
make it to the finals?
Let's cut over to... Oh, yeah, never. Let's see, Aaron, let's look
so
at
on Saturday,
that first game in Calgary.
Yeah, Saturday, Calgary loss in Calgary at the Saddle Dome, 3-1. Last goal was an empty netter, so that really doesn't matter, but... it was just really a lackluster performance by the Wild. I don't know if they're still reeling from the loss of Clutterbuck or what. However, Coyle gets his first NHL goal.
Not his first. He had just had a goal the previous night, didn't he? No.
Nope.
Nope, you're right.
No.
Never mind.
Nope.
I'm on crack.
Nope, first NHL goal. And
Did he get one his... No, he did not get it.
You're thinking Zucker.
Game. Yeah, I'm thinking of Zucker.
Zucker and
Granlund.
Mitchell.
Granlund got one his first game.
Yes.
Coyle had, I think, a couple of good looks his first game up, but I don't think he actually hit the twine.
And there was really not much to say because it was just a lackluster game. The Wild were playing on their heels for majority of the game. And one thing they've really been struggling with is converting on the power play, and it was another case in this game. Even though it was a low penalized game, compared to the next game, also against Calgary in the home and home.
Well, and in that second game, the Wild ended up taking the victory in overtime.
Yes, Kenny, bring
overtime.
Us the second game. Bring us the second game like mad.
Tange ended up getting first goals in both of those games.
Tange. I freaking hate Tange.
Tange!
With Boumeister getting assists on both of those. So, unfortunately, you know, as a Wild fan,
I thought
guys...
Boumeister was a beer.
No, that's the one that gives you the Clydesdale dumps.
Oh, okay. So Stajan getting, what was that?
Yeah. So anyways, Wild ended up, Wild didn't end up scoring until late in the third to tie the game 1-1. And then Parisi actually had a very nice 4-on-3 overtime winner for the Wild that game.
Actually, the only goal I got to see out of that game. I was looking around going, why is this game not on any of the televisions in the bar I work at right now as I'm sitting here? Oh, there it is on one. Oh, and never mind. The game's over.
Wah, wah. And I will say, though, even though it's only a 2-1 game, the Wild had so many good looks.
They did, especially in that third period. I mean, they had Calgary on their heels
the first period.
Time.
First period was forgettable. Second period was like a transition period. Third period... Wild dominated. They killed off a 5-minute penalty and a 4-minute penalty. I think the 5-minute had zero shots on goal by Calgary in the full 5-minute.
Jesus.
I mean, it was basically like the Wild were playing even strength and didn't even know that they were actually on the PK.
That's good. You know? Are you sure we don't have Lemaire behind the bench again?
it was really shocking. And it actually, that's. The one thing the Wild need to do, though, they need to start scoring first. They're not doing it at all.
On the upside, at least they're finally getting some defensive chemistry going.
That
is
good.
Something that has been lacking for a while.
You know, and I'm glad
if
to
they
see...
were looking they were, like they were on the penalty kill and succeeding at it, I'm okay with that because they're getting defensive chemistry finally.
I know last week we had talked about the flu going through the entire team, and I'm glad to see that it didn't completely keep them down. Obviously, with a 3-1 victory against Edmonton, and then the loss against Calgary, but then coming back. So I'm glad to see those guys are recovering.
So I got to ask, we're about a month into the season so far, right?
Yes.
I know when I'm watching a game, I see guys making mistakes where I'm just like, what the heck are you doing? So yeah. So who we're a month in, who is our MVP and who's our LVP, our least valuable player?
Oh, wow. Are we at that point, or should we go into Gophers?
I want to
do
it.
No, let's do it.
You want to go MVP and LVP just for the Wild?
Just for the Wild.
All right. I'm going to start off with with an MVP. I really think Setoguchi has stepped up his game from the beginning.
Nope.
Wow. Well met. But you're going with Setoguchi for the MVP.
I'm
going
to go with Setoguchi for the MVP. I think from the beginning of the season till now, I know he had stressed to Yo that he has gotten more physical and better.
And he definitely has.
His play at the beginning of the season was kind of lackluster. It wasn't noticed. I think with the line shift that Yo did, putting him and Granlund down to the fourth line kind of kicked it in his head a little bit like, hey, I got to step this up or I'm trade bait.
No, totally.
And I think he's gotten better. I mean, obviously there was the bad play that he did.
It was even questionable.
Suspension.
Even the national
reporters
were going,
it's one of those things.
Kind of what you normally do. You can't help it.
And it seemed kind of like an oversell, too, on the Calgary part.
I don't know. I'm liking Setoguchi. I think if we had a full season and he had some time, a little bit more time to develop with his line mates, I think he'd be an all-star.
I will totally agree with you. Just insofar as the debate side of it, I'm going to agree with you entirely that his performance seemed lackluster at the beginning because of the shift of lines.
Yeah,
that could be.
And that he has been playing that tenacious. I'm not going to agree with you insofar as who I'm going to vote for MVP. Who are you voting for lowest?
Well, I'll throw my
or should we go MVP LVP?
I'll throw out my MVP pick, and I know it pains me to say it. But I'm going to say Backstrom. He's keeping his goals down. And you could extend it to Kemper, but he's only or Harding. They only played a couple games. But Backstrom has kept us in games.
He has. He's another one that started off really slow. I was a little worried about Backstrom at the first couple of games. I'm going, what is going on?
It was all rebounds, backdoor, backdoor, rebound, backdoor, backdoor.
It was huge for a guy that used to just suck the pucks up. I mean, he was giving off rebounds that were bouncing out to the top of the circle. What is going on with Backstrom this year?
But his goals against average is under 2.5, I think, right now. I mean, he's solid. I mean, considering the Wilder,
especially since at the beginning of the season he very much wasn't.
Yeah,
and we have stepped away from as much of a defensive team as we used to be.
The Wild have a winning record, and they also are last in the league in scoring.
Wow!
How else do you do that without a spectacular goal?
We can breathe again.
No.
Exactly.
That's hockey. That's our game.
I think Backstrom just needed a few more weeks to actually get his groove on.
He did.
And I think not having like a full-on training camp and not having the pre-season games to help out.
I also think
having Harding need to step down put a little bit of fear into his step and that gave him that extra jump.
No, I think that's probably fair, actually.
Very fair.
Yeah.
Kemper doing a great job, don't get me wrong.
No.
But when you don't know that you've got somebody at least as good as your backup.
Look at how many years.
And you don't know what you can count on him to do at all. You're going to have a little more jump in your step.
Look at how many years Harding and Backstrom have been playing together.
Yeah.
Backstrom knows Harding. Backstrom knows that if he's hurt or if he doesn't feel right to play, he's got a solid guy behind him. Kemper coming up, like you said, is a you know, he's a new guy.
But
or new to Backstrom.
And he's young.
He's a maverick.
He's young, and we know that young goalies aren't trusted like older goalies coming up.
Yeah. Although, look at Luongo. Luongo's holding. He's not being trusted either.
Well, there is that. So. Well, they should because they're winning with him. So
Fair enough.
I know who I'm going to pick.
Go for it.
I
need everybody to listen to my full explanation.
Okay.
Because
I will meet
right away.
Microphone.
Everybody's going to freak out and go, "Oh, you obvious selecting motherfucker on Parise." Pardon my language. But
nope. We'll bleep that out in post.
Yeah, we'll take care of that in post. Parise has actually done more than expected, entirely due to the fact that he wasn't a major pickup, other than he was the best free agent out there.
Right.
Which we've got players who would have gone for more if they were coming off of our bench as a free agent.
I mean, it's hard to argue with their choice. I mean, he's got 8 goals.
He's still not in double digits yet, which is slightly disappointing. But when you brought up the fact that we are one of the lowest scoring teams and we have a winning record,
he's the one.
This does. He's the one.
Without him and Backstrom, we've got a losing record.
Well,
easily.
He and Heatley, and then it goes into everybody. Heatley and Koivu, the front line carries it.
Yeah. I think he does that as
the most consistent goals.
Yeah.
One of the reasons it hurt so bad with Clutterbuck going out for me, which a lot of people didn't understand, is the amount of physical play he brings to the ice grinds the other team down that bad.
It's unbelievable.
Some of the highest ice time out of the entire bench of the Wild because he will wear everyone down on the other team.
He's the scrappiest dude in the boards down in the corners.
And he's
the first one
into the offensive zone, the last one out of the defensive zone. He is the one keeping them moving to the point where they wear down.
No, his forechecking is awesome as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's the scrappiest scrappy dude ever.
Clean player.
Yeah, he doesn't lay the hits down, but he gets
in there. And
if we were voting on tenacity, I would totally be going with Clutterbuck, but I'm going to go with Parise.
I'd go with Parise, actually.
No, yeah. I'm
going with Parise because he is actually earning his paycheck very well for being just the best free agent that happened to be out there.
I don't think you're going to get any arguments from this side of the table.
Yeah, no.
All right, so real quick.
LVP.
LVP.
I'm a little disappointed in Granlund. I know there was a lot that was put on his shoulders.
He was hyped. He was definitely overhyped, probably.
But definitely a little disappointed in him. I had a lot of respect going into him, especially that first game. He gets a goal, his first NHL game. I'm going, awesome, this kid's going to be phenomenal.
Right.
And then that was about it.
I think Granlund, he needs space. And our game doesn't dictate a lot of space, at least not right now.
I think he needs to bump up his physical play. I think he's getting bounced around way too much by the other teams.
Granted, I think he's been doing better lately as far as his physical play goes. But speaking of lacking physical play, my choice would be PMB. He's been a complete non-factor this season.
He hasn't been a non-factor,
but he has. How many assists does he have? One, two?
At best, he'd count in the same category as Clutterbuck. But he's somebody we expect to actually be scoring goals because of his hands and his speed.
He needs goals, not happening. He needs goals or assists, and especially considering he's playing on the power play, if he's not getting assists or goals, something wrong.
Okay, so wait, that was your pick on who's on the LVP?
PMB. Yes, PMB is my LVP.
Who's your LVP,
Josh? Does that
mean
I got to pick somebody else?
So are you arguing against me even though he was your pick?
For reason. On why reason? I thought I actually missed.
Where's that gunshot, Jive?
Yeah, go ahead and shoot me in the back right now, Jive. There we go.
We can't really do a knife stabbing in the back.
I'm actually
going to
throw Yo under the bus as LVP.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I really think he did not do a good enough job of communicating to his players what he expected them to do and getting them to skate enough together to have any sort of chemistry, and has still been fluctuating lines, still been moving people too often for him to actually have a cohesive line at any point outside of that front line, making everybody think we're a one-line team and that we have nothing to offer.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think you've summed that up perfectly.
oh, wait. Even you're on, was on I going to pick PMB? Oh, no.
No. I that was mine, bitch.
Cheers. Cheers on that.
But I gotta agree that I think Yo, his constant shuffling of lines just shows that he doesn't really understand what his players' strengths are at this point. It's constant shuffling, and
it's constant shuffling to find something that works. I understand that he's right. It's not, he's not too over the top on it, but somehow he has managed to take so many players who know exactly what they're doing and not get them to gel together,
but
and find the chemistry they need to do no look drop passes to just put it in the net, make them actually cross the line coherently or anything.
At the same point, though, he'll play a line and they'll blow someone out one night and then decide he needs to switch things up the next night. And then they lose. And you're like, why don't we just go back to what we had when we won?
Okay, no, see, I'm not going so far as to say
that's
that
what I'm saying.
I mean, you saying that, it makes it sound like he just tried something on his EA Sports game.
That's what it feels like some nights.
Some nights it does, and yeah. I'll agree with you there. But that's why I'm arguing that Yo is my LVP for the year.
All right, moving on to Gophers.
Oh, good God. Somebody else has to take that after the rant I just pulled. Kenny, can you?
I got this. Thank one. You. All right, at least I got the first one.
You missed. You were taking a piss while I was. I did not take
That's
a
okay.
breath.
Because I wanted to say a few things about Yo anyways, and I'm glad that we just kept going.
It's all you right now. We're talking about the Friday win
Friday,
over UMD.
They ended up, Gophers over the weekend in general, they beat the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs 5-3 on Friday night. Saturday night it ended up going into a tie. Just kind of lumping everything together real quick. We can jump into the Saturday game in a second. Hulla gets his 14th goal.
Hulla!
And 15th goal of the season against the Bulldogs of Duluth. Budish, 2 assists that night. Condon gets an assist with Sam Warning, who got his 7th goal.
Well, Condon got a goal, didn't he? Yeah, in the
no.
first period.
Oh, he did. I'm sorry. I completely
quite
missed
right,
that.
Quite all right.
Condon did get a goal and an assist.
Rao got a goal.
Kyle Rao got a goal. Budish with 2 assists. Hollow with 2 goals. I mean, overall,
the team was looking good Friday. Great Friday.
It's the guys you'd expect to put up numbers for the Gophers. And
more or less.
You know what?
Well, Condon's kind of a new pick on that.
I like Condon. I've always liked Condon.
Everybody
liked
Condon, but he didn't really start to step up to the plate as much as he has
Condon,
since the last two,
after
like,
that
the last
game,
2 months is when he started to blow up.
After that game,
he's
Condon
was sitting
that,
guy either, I don't think.
No, but he was sitting at 29 points after that game.
And Hulla moved into a tie for 6th in the national scoring race with 39 points due to his 2 goals that game.
So overall.
And double dip, Hulla. Is a wild process.
Holla! Holla!
Hopefully one day he'll be playing along his fellow Finns.
with Backstrom and Koivu.
Well, Backstrom will be long gone, but Koivu and Granlin. Yeah.
Well, and the 2 goals from the Bulldogs were Justin Kandel and Austin Farley.
Yeah, so.
And that brings us up to Saturday when they tied. I'll talk into that right now. let's see. Riley got a first period goal for the Gophers with an assist from Marshall and Warning. And then the second period, UMD got their first goal.
Again, Farley.
And Caleb Herbert and Andy Walensky on the assist there. Third period, both teams get a goal. First, the Gophers, Tom Cerratore with an assist from Travis Boyd. And then at about the 13-minute mark, Jake Hendrickson got a goal in with an assist from Keegan Flaherty and Ken Dukowski.
And I got to say, there was basically the bummer was the tie. There's no doubt about that. But there was a point in the one game in that game where Cerratore was basically, there was interference. It was blatant interference. And the referees totally missed it. I mean, I talked to my buddies at work, and they're like, "I can't believe that wasn't called." And then it was right before we're going to overtime. basically, the Gophers don't have any power play going in that overtime, and then it ends up as a tie.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Woohoo! There wasn't, really.
Yeah.
Blinders.
Saratori got, you know, he got shafted, and, you know, now we got a tie because of it.
You know, and that sucks. I think, Aaron, you and I were listening to a nationally broadcasted podcast the other day, and they were talking about, where are all the good refs?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, everyone complains about the referees.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so why don't you get the better ones? Where are the better ones? You know what? They're still human. People still miss shit. Stuff.
Okay. So I got a good one for you now that you bring that up. So my coworker knows the lead ref that was at the game. So she's texting him saying, giving him crap about, you missed that call. And
Did he reply back?
He replied back on Friday, I guess, because she was sending him texts during the game on Friday, you know, giving him crap.
Wouldn't that be funny if all of a sudden you see a referee pull his phone out of his pants and checking his text messages?
Well, I mean, admittedly, my uncle is a ref that ref for everything but the NHL. And he will openly say there's a lot of times where, yeah, from the ice, it's a very different angle.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely.
There's times where you even from the replay, it doesn't look like there was an infraction, but from the ice and where the ref's standing,
right,
it very much.
And you don't have replays on penalties, so.
No, yeah, you don't.
You know, and then she said, like, on Saturday, I couldn't even text him because I know I'd just be a total bitch. So, like, I wasn't going to text him.
Well, especially on the college level, there's a lot of times where they can't go to the booth quite as easily as they can with, say, NHL.
There's no Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's all going back to the local guys sitting behind the monitors at that venue.
The guy, right. Yeah, the people at the venue in front of the little monitors that are the timekeepers are the ones reviewing the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it does suck, especially as a fan, where you're always sitting at more of a bird's eye view than what the refs are seeing. Especially at the game or watching the game at home. But
another reason we should all bitch about the timekeeper, not the ref.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Getting back to it. Does anybody have, let's see, where were we? We were on the Saturday game. Were we still discussing that at that point? We got way off topic there, bitching about refs.
So anyways, Gophers are still sitting at number two nationwide, both polls.
And actually, in the WCHA, they're sitting in second now. They have moved up. St. Cloud State is right above them. Nebraska, Omaha, right underneath. North Dakota is in fourth.
Just briefly looking at the rankings for the USCHO, there's a few Big Ten teams in there with the Gophers. Gophers obviously sitting at number two. North Dakota.
Wow, that's not Big Ten. That would be the WCHA.
I'm sorry.
Next year, and
year
none
off.
Of those teams are following us, Kenny.
No. Well, one of them is. As far as WCHA, North Dakota is still sitting at number six with St. Cloud State right behind them at seven. Minnesota State at nine.
See, and in the WCHA, they're sitting in fifth.
Nebraska, Omaha is at 13. Wisconsin at 16. So there's a very good presence of WCHA teams.
Yeah. Huge, because the WCHA breakdown in order. St. Cloud State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Omaha, North Dakota, Minnesota State, Denver, Wisconsin, Colorado College, Minnesota Duluth, Bemidji State, Michigan Tech, and then, we all know who's in last place, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, even looking at the USA Today, I mean, there's still a good handful. Nebraska, Omaha, St. Cloud State, Minnesota State, North Dakota, University of Minnesota. That's five teams out of the top 15 are from the WCHA. That's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Gophers hockey, the Gopher ladies, they win on Saturday.
Wait, isn't this Kenny's topic?
No. That's okay. Only if it involves Beavers.
It's involving Beavers, isn't it?
So, Gopher ladies win on Saturday, meaning the end of the regular season, unbeaten.
Awesome.
Undefeated regular season. Go Gophers, ladies. Thank you very much. Congratulations on an undefeated season. Has any other women's team done that yet?
No.
Or no?
I don't think so.
Nope.
All right.
Hey,
so,
that's the first time that's been appropriate.
It's been appropriate.
You.
Yeah. Well, it was appropriate the one time it got slammed on me as well. But
fair enough.
I'm willing to own up to my mistakes. But, yeah, everybody that's actually said anything about the Gophers women's team not really counting to me because it was a women's team can now eat the peanuts out of my feces.
Awesome.
Yep. And they're...
Nope. Okay, that might have been appropriate.
Okay. the first women's hockey team to finish the season unbeaten, and Nuorati tied an NCAA record with a 39th shutout.
Wow.
Isn't that your wife, Kenny?
My future ex.
All right, just checking. Nope.
College news, though.
Yes. So, why am I not? Today,
records.
Or this week, it's the 33rd year anniversary of the Miracle on Ice, where a couple Minnesota college kids joined Herb Brooks.
Who was, correct me if I'm wrong, but Brooks was still coaching at the U of M at that
yes,
point.
Yes, he was. Yep. Yeah.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Perfect.
To Herb. Let's
to
all
Herb.
To Herb.
Salud.
Everyone buckle up, please.
Jive, where's your glass clinking
yeah.
sample?
Cheers. All right, do there we have go. Anything else from college that we want to discuss right now? Because I thought Kenny wanted to talk about the Beavers.
I always want to talk about the Beavers. I just don't have enough knowledge about the Beavers.
Why does that not surprise me?
We need to save that sample. We need to
oh
save that sample.
Oh, my God, yes. We will cut that down and have that on the soundboard.
But that's
for
not
every
what she said.
Episode ever. Totally what she said. All right, well, if we're going to stay on topic on the girls in the high school category, they just finished up their high school tournament.
Not talking about those Beavers.
It just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Way to make it pervy. Let's see here. In the first round of the high school tournament for the ladies, we had Waseca against Albert Lee. Waseca won 2-0. Then Northfield versus Austin. Northfield won 8-2. North Plains against Faribault. North Plains won 9-1. Red Wing had the bye in the first part of the bracket to go against Waseca, won 13-1.
Wow.
Yeah, and then on the lower half of the bracket, Northfield and North Plains, 2-5. So North Plains moved ahead to play the Red Wings. Oh, the Red Wings won 9-1. So it was kind of a no contest sort of matchup. The first seed definitely crushed every game they played. The only team that possibly had a chance by the look of it was North Plains. So, right. To the ladies, your season is done. You've had your playoffs, and good job and congratulations to the Red Wings.
Well, congrats to everybody that even got a chance to play.
And everybody, oh, yeah. And all the ladies that went and skated on the X ice, we all know how great that room smells.
So, we've got, not like Beavers, though. So, we've got...
Why is it always going to be about Beavers with you?
I don't know.
We're putting a badger in your pants next week. That's it.
We can have a fight between the badgers and the Beavers.
You're going to get Bucky Badger in your pants to try and get rid of your beaver. All right, and insofar as the men's hockey.
As long as it's not the Fighting Sioux, because that could hurt.
The boys' hockey in the high school is finishing up their semifinals right now, coming into their trip to the X this next weekend.
Yep.
We may very well be on-site reporting for you. Who knows? We might have a special on that. Waiting to hear back from a few people insofar as some emails and whatnot about press passes. But for a change, you might get a little bit of a hoo-hoo dilly from us while we're actually there outside of just our Twitter account.
Right. So, might as well bring into the Minnesota Player of the Week. So, last week's player, I think the unanimous winner, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Was Jason Zucker. Not surprising. You know, who are we picking this week? I think last week's loser was...
Well, it was kind of a tie between the two
of us. It was kind
of
a tie because everybody voted for the same player.
You know, Josh, if you want to go first, feel free. Otherwise, I'll take it.
No, go right ahead. Right now, I got a silly thing, like a bathroom sort of situation I have to deal with.
So, Kenny.
I'm going to go with Holla.
I think that was a solid pick, actually.
You know, just two goals in the first game against UMD. I think he's just Hall. I've always liked Halla playing. I mean, I think he's a solid player on the ice. He's obviously a Wild draft pick. I would love to see him play in a Wild sweater.
I'm
going with Halla.
No, I think that's fair. Since Josh is going to step out for a second, I will toss my pick up on there. And basically, it's between two guys for me, and I'm going to have to go with Ryan Suter. He's got three assists on the week.
Really?
You know, three games, three assists. I've been impressed. He's not an offensive defenseman. He's not.
He's a defensive defenseman. He's a very solid blue line player.
He's a solid blue line. He controls the puck. I've been shocked and surprised by how he can take a puck that's floating in midair, knock it down, and keep it saved.
Absolutely.
His puck control is really mind blowing, and I think a lot of Wild fans look at how much he's getting paid and expect Parisi type scoring out of him.
That's not the case. He's supposed to be keeping the goals away from Backstrom or away from Kemper or away from Harding, whoever's in net. His job is to keep the guys down, keep that shooting lane down, and that's what he does a phenomenal job
of. And you could make the argument that Backstrom wouldn't be as good as he is because without Suter there.
That's quite possible.
Yeah, Suter's playing half a game. He really is ice time.
Yeah, last time I checked, I thought he was like second highest in the NHL for time on ice.
I think you're right, actually.
I mean, it's up there, and the guy's definitely putting up the legwork for it. He deserves it.
Okay, so
that's your pick.
You went for Suter.
For Suter.
What Jive go with?
Jive has not gone yet.
We'll let you go first because Jive goes last. Me and Jive won. I out of courtesy for you,
okay.
I went before earlier than I needed to.
So you got Suter. You have
I got Halla.
I know who I'd go for.
Think right now.
I know who I'd go for if I couldn't go for Suter.
I've got my second guy in mind right now.
Me too.
You know, I'm a little more picky right now, and it's tough because I've got something on my mind that I want to talk about, but it's not Minnesota centric. So I can't. I'm tempted to actually go with. Actually, you know, I see what you guys are throwing out there, but I'm not gonna take the easy bait there. I'm really not. I'm gonna go with Clutterbuck for making everybody rally around him being that much of a tough ass.
I'll take
and
that.
And granted, so many people will call him Buttercup. Some people will call him Clusterfuck, but he's still just that much of an integral player that everybody has hesitated from it. Went, oh, that's not good if he doesn't get up quick.
Oh yeah,
no, and the look of agony on his face.
It did help rally the team, and he still got up, skated off with some help, and then they realized that he actually needed to have the stretcher.
All right, Josh is going with Clutterbuck.
I'm just going for straight up toughness with Clutterbuck.
All right, and for my pick, I guess I'm going to have to go with the one Charlie Coyle. I mean, he gets a shot. He gets another chance back up here. He puts one in the net, you know. And, you know, hopefully that's good signs of things to come.
So I'm really kind of surprised that none of us went for Colin.
Granted, I mean, he had assists in one of the games, and then he had two goals in the other. So he had a solid week.
And one was an empty netter.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he's a good guy and a good player.
Yeah.
And, it is a good thought, and that would be a close second. But I actually wanted to at least honor the integrity of the guy while he was lying on the ice going, oh, God.
No, but I think Matt Colin is still a very much stand-up old-school hockey player.
Okay, so we basically have to go through what games are coming up for the week real quick.
Go for it.
But do we want to bring up the fact that Chicago did break the record, and they still have not lost in regulation?
Who cares about Chicago?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about
It is a National Hockey League record, and they're currently not a rival. So, you know, we should at least give them their due for breaking the record for not taking a loss so far this season in regulation time. At what? Is it 20 games right now? or is it?
It sounds like, about
it's somewhere
right.
between 18 and 21 games. Last check I had, it was at 19. Anybody got a clarification?
No, because I don't think we really care.
Fair enough. Still, they broke the record. They now hold the record
good
for
them.
The longest unbeaten streak. Really shocking with Taze and Sharp. And, yeah, gee, that's such a hard thing to see happening.
I was
kind of
looking at the upcoming Wild schedule.
Yeah, so the upcoming
about.
Wild schedule, we're actually looking at
we the
tomorrow, the Coyotes.
Coyotes tomorrow. Yep.
And then Anaheim the day after on Friday. So back-to-backs on
both,
the road.
Both road games.
Both
yeah.
road games, yeah. And then we come back for the Oilers on Sunday.
Hockey has its own science and strategy.
At home.
For every
at
play...
home.
There's a counterplay.
And we expect to see Kanapka be on the first line and drop the gloves immediately.
For your beloved Blackhawks, we are playing in Chicago on Tuesday.
I might have to go to Chicago on Tuesday to see that. Then
road
they're
trip.
Not my beloved they're not my beloved Blackhawks, thank you.
All right.
You got my turncoat?
There's a reason I always ask for your microphone turned down. And now you know why.
All right. So any predictions?
Let's see. Well, first of all, like I said, Kanapka being on the first line for the Wild, dropping the gloves as soon as the puck drops. That's my first prediction.
Well, we got a couple of games before
I say,
that.
I say true. The Wild lose the first two and then win back at home.
I think they, well, Phoenix is actually, they had a tough time playing against Smith in Phoenix.
Yes.
And he's a big goalie. He's all over the place. Although
And they lost earlier in the season against Solani and Anaheim.
Anaheim, I think, is going to slaughter him, personally.
I'm going two losses on the road. The Wild can win at home. They have a tough time on the road.
I think Mike Smith might get a little too fancy with the puck behind the net this time around, and the Wild are going to take that win against Phoenix.
I'm going to argue the Wild are going to lose to Phoenix but win against the Ducks. Then
Koivu.
Beat the ever-loving snot out of the Oilers.
Yeah, I think even if they lose.
And take it to overtime against the Hawks.
Well, they did last time.
And they're one of three teams who have.
At home. But they're in Chicago.
They're one of three teams that has made them play beyond regulation.
I'm going 1-3. I hate to say it. I think they're going to go 1-3.
I'm going to go win against Phoenix, loss against.
Split, basically, then.
A split on the first two road games. I think. I don't know how. I think they're going to fare fairly well against Edmonton at home. I think no matter what, Edmonton's either going to go home losing on the scoreboard or losing
teeth.
Good call, Josh.
Thank you.
I think they're literally going to beat up on Edmonton when they get into our home.
Oh, yeah.
On
that I don't doubt that.
they're, you know, the fans are going to be looking for blood.
I'm
I think they're going to.
It's a good show.
They're going to give it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Chicago. I think it might go into OT, maybe a shootout. I couldn't foresee a winner on it, but I think it's going to go. I think they're going to get a point at least.
I'm going to say 2-1-1. I think they're going to lose to Phoenix. I think they're going to win against Anaheim. I think they're going to win against brain function Edmonton, and I think they're going to take it to overtime to the Blackhawks. And just because of the role they're on, I'm going to. I don't want to say who's going to win in overtime, but I got to list it as 2-1-1.
I mean, I think it's going to go
2-1 in overtime. I'm not going to say who gets the overtime win there.
That's pretty much where I'm at. Like I said, I think Phoenix, yes. Anaheim, no. Edmonton, yes. Chicago's a toss-up game.
And possibly the strongest team that they'll have to face all year. Real quick, insofar as the WCHA, however, this weekend looks like Wisconsin. The Badgers are looking at Nebraska, Omaha. Denver's playing here at Minnesota on Friday. Bemidji State's at North Dakota. Michigan Tech
Beavers.
At St. Cloud State.
You gotta get the Beavers in there.
Minnesota State is at Colorado College. Saturday, obviously, same thing supply. Anybody got anything else they'd like to bring up for the week?
No, you know, looking forward to the boys' hockey in a couple of weeks, but we can talk more about that next week.
Yep.
I think this is the first show we went over an hour on.
Damn close.
And on that, of course, you can catch our recasts that broadcast live on Cyanet Radio. This is 3 in the Box. Thank you very much for listening. Gentlemen?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at AaronJP, and you can check out my band at pinrot.com. This is Aaron.
Yeah, what Aaron said about Pinrot. Plus, you can catch me on Twitter at RottenK999.
And, of course, our lovely producer walking up to one of our microphones right now.
Hey, you can follow me, Jive Midnight, on Twitter.
All right, and remember, he does have the best breasts in the city.
And Jive is also involved with Aaron and I with Pinrot.
Yes,
so,
actually, and I'm lying about his breasts. They're
They're mediocre.
Jibber jabber.
Yes, and this is Meat Beast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of Three in the Box. Hopefully, we'll actually be able to give you some greatness coming from the Minnesota Boys High School team or high school tournament. And we'll have our special of Puck and Drunk recast with a full group
very,
of comics
very soon.
And chaos that will be announced. Watch our site.
Unadulterated entertainment.
Hello.